Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, guys. Good Saturday morning and welcome. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show again. I am Rich Orris filling in for Scott Mosby today. He's wrapping his assignment up this week and we'll be back, I promise. But for now, we've got the next couple hours to talk about basically anything that you need. You know, it seems like we're finally maybe seeing the end of some of the rainy season. Couple nice days coming up. It's going to be getting warm from what they say. Next week, my grass personally is about 18 inches tall, I think. It's like, oh my gosh, it's been raining all week. I haven't been able to get to it. Much like you guys, I'm sure. When I get back, I think I'm cutting grass today. I gotta get through that, right? So have you gotten through what you need to do outside? Have you looked around? Have you thought about now that the rain has ended, you know, are you getting ready for Mother's Day? You're going to be planting your flowers. You have some interior stuff to do on your honey-do list to complete before tomorrow, I'm sure, getting ready for the big day. We can talk about all of this and much, much more. Anything you need, anything you've got going on around your home, you can give me a call today, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And, you know, I do want to just kind of pause and take a quick moment to, you know, say happy Mother's Day to my mom, my wife, and basically all the moms out there. You know, thanks for being the backbone of all of our homes. It kind of holds the whole household together for us. I don't know what we would do without you for sure. So I am here for all the mothers today. Also, we can get through anything you would like to know or anything, you know, you're curious about your home for the next couple hours here. Again, you can find me 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So, and you know, this week is kind of bathroom week, month, you know, around Mosby. The couple of the biggest things we do at Mosby Building Arts, probably our top two projects that we complete the most on average of over the course of a year, is kitchens and bathrooms. And, you know, there's a lot to say and a lot to do about that. And so I thought, you know, bathrooms could be a really big, good topic for today. Some interesting facts just out there, some things that you should do or shouldn't do, or you're thinking about remodeling, what should you think about with accessibility, how do you get through it? We can run through a ton of that stuff with you today for sure. Also wanted to touch on kind of, you know, what we do here at Mosby Building Arts, what I do. You know, in my role and position, you know, why am I here today? Well, you know, basically I go out and I meet with people and, you know, I run around and I find out what their ailments are. I find out what kind of remodeling jobs they're thinking about, kind of dig in with them on their wants, desires, but really also needs. And just try and be, you know, a good advisor to everyone on, you know, looking at what needs to happen, how does it need to happen, what should be the priority order and things like that. You know, I had a client I visited last week, and they kind of had the kitchen and two other master bath, hall bathroom, you know, on the list. And, you know, as we're going around and we're looking at these projects, we kind of got to that hall bathroom last, and we talked about some, you know, really cool stuff, you know, opening up the mudroom to the kitchen and making the kitchen a little bit bigger and, you know, tying things together. We talked about in the bathroom, you know, maybe creating a wet space, which is a really cool thing, you know, that's they've been doing this in Europe forever. It's basically like a whole wet area, so your tub can be in there, your shower can be in there. The whole floor is just the wet area, the walls, everything. You can close it in, get good ventilation in there. And that can really help, you know, get all the parts and pieces you need in that space, but also make the shower, you know, feel and be a little bit bigger without having the curb and the stuff to kind of separate, like where the bathtub area is and all of that. It'll all kind of clean up and run to the drain and function. But then when we got to the hall bathroom, very simple bathroom, you know, typical hall 5x8, 30-inch vanity. They've got a bathtub with the you know, 90s 4-inch square porcelain tiles. And, man, are these tiles like they've seen their lifespan, how they were glued and adhered, and you can tap on them and they're loose and, you know, things like that. The grout's cracking and coming out on some of the wall. And in that discussion with them, you know, they're kind of talking about, well, they don't use that bathroom a lot, but when they do, you know, a couple times, 2 to 3 times a year, family visits, they do have some young grandkids that bathe in there. They do want to keep it a bathtub, you know, for that. And we just talked more and more about how, you know, even though it's not often, that's kind of, you know, I would put that as my top priority. If you're going to do these in stages or one job at a time or whatever, you know, I would literally start with that one just because, well, right now, you know, we talk all the time about timelines and the labor shortages and when can you get to it and how do you get products in and this and that. So it takes a while to get to and to get it accomplished. And, you know, it's kind of a safety thing. And, you know, really looking at such, you know, awesome projects and great areas, but then really recommending we should really focus on and start with the simplest, the most cost effective. You can do it really easily and get through it. And, you know, I'm not like just dying to be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, kitchen's perfect. Let's start there. You know, it'd be great. But really the need for their home, for their lifestyle, for their grandkids, and to not have, you know, tile falling, you know, off the wall, possibly onto a grandchild or someone assisting them, you know, taking a bath or something, is probably the most important piece of the whole puzzle in all three projects. Would it be nice to, you know, have that master bathroom for yourself? Yep, absolutely. Would the kitchen be great when they do come to visit and you can all gather there and it's the heart of the home? You betcha. And it'd be great to have this awesome space and we can get to all of them. But let's look at, you know, safety and nurturing and keeping people, you know, good in their homes and safe in their homes first, and get through, you know, how we kind of advise, you know, things like this. So I think we'll get into our first break of the hour here. So if you have anything for your home and your bathrooms, any projects, any questions, any comments, any concerns, anything going on, feel free to give me a call right here today. We got a ton of time left. 314-436-7900. I'll be here for you, and we'll have more to come right after these messages.
Serving St. Louis for over 96 years. KMOX.
All right, guys, here we go. Welcome back again. I'm Rich Orris, filling in for Scott Mosby today, sitting in the big chair, just waiting to help you out, hoping we can get some good stuff going. And, you know, if you have anything, again, once again, write this down. You can reach us here today, 314-436-7900. And speaking of bathrooms, we were kind of talking about in a bathroom, you know, visit I had and recommendations and everything. We have Alice on the line, has a question about her hall bathroom, I believe. Alice, thanks for calling in. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Awesome. How are you today?
Okay.
Good. What now, do you have for us?
Is there a thing about maybe putting too many grab bars in the hall bathroom?
Well, I mean, there's not really a thing about too many, but there is some specific, you know, spots and locations that work really well, you know, for using the bathroom. And there are some availability out there of some grab bars that actually are kind of like nicer looking and double up is so you could put it next to the sink as like a towel bar, but it's also can be something to help you stand there while you, you know, brush your teeth or do your thing, and kind of something to hang on to, and it'll support you like a grab bar. So what, are you looking to get a bunch of grab bars in your bathroom?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I wanted to think if we sold the house later, would that be hurting our real estate agent saying that, well, there's too many grab bars in here?
Well, you know, I do think that, you know, that could be disruptive to some purchasers, but you definitely have to think about, you know, how you use it and why, and if it helps you stay in your home longer and live there longer, and then you can, you know, save some money by being able to remain in your home and not go pay more at a different place, assisted living or some of these different, you know, things that you could go to, or maybe it keeps you out of a family member's home for longer or something like that. I think it's worth the value in the end. And if there's some younger buyers that are like, oh, I wish there wasn't so many grab bars, I don't know that it's going to hurt you so much that it's really going to diminish the value down to the point where no one would buy your home. Would possibly maybe a couple people not like it and possibly even walk away? Sure. But, you know, I think it's more valued to you and what you need and living there for now than it is thinking about the next buyer. And the more decorative ones, you can have some to where they may not even realize their grab bars.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Thanks, Alice. Great question. Something we do here at Mosby all the time, you know, installing grab bars and accessibility, things like that in your bathrooms. You know, and there is good locations around the bathroom, you know, either beside or across from the toilet to help you get up and down. Some of these can be like installed and removed too. So if you know, did go to sell your home and you're no longer using that, you know, you've got these really major grab bars next to your toilet that really help you get on and off, but you can take them off the wall, fill the holes, paint a little bit, and it's kind of back to normal for someone too. It wouldn't be too big of a deal, you know, to do that, and then you get to use it for quite a while and everything else, and it just helps you through it, you know, and all of that, and kind of in the shower on the side, one vertical getting in, one vertical by the shower, you know, handle, faucet, and all of that to kind of help you as you're, you know, trying to adjust and turn things on and do things. So there's typically that you have, you know, two to three for sure in the shower anyways. And then you can get a decorative one as a towel bar kind of across from the toilet, and you can get a decorative one as a towel bar, you know, over by the actual sink, and you can have five in there and only three really kind of look or function, you know, apparently as grab bars. But so we have Greg on the line here has a question for us. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling in. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, what do you got going on?
Well, I have an older historic home, and I'm wanting to update the wiring in the home, and I'm wondering, is there a way that I can do that, you know, systematically and not have to, you know, like move out for 30 days or something to do that? I'd like to just update all the wiring in throughout the entire house.
Uh-huh.
It's a three-story home. It's okay. In the historic area.
Okay. And so it's in the city somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely is. And there's it definitely, when you do that, it does require, you know, quite a bit of, you know, plaster patching, painting, you know, all of that. And it kind of depends on how you go about getting, you know, some of the wiring to where it needs to be. So I just did this last year at somebody's house where we kind of sectioned the house off, and we kind of did the front half of the house, first floor, second floor. And then we did the back half of the house, first floor, second floor. And they were kind of able to move from one bedroom to the other while we did all that. And one of the reasons for that was they didn't want anything on the outside of the home. And actually, there was a conduit on the outside of the home that went up to the second floor that during this electrical process that we did, we actually removed it because he's like, I don't want all that. So it is less plaster work, and it won't eliminate all of it. But if you run conduits on the outside of the home and feed in from the outside, you can get like from the first, you know, basement to the second floor.
Sure.
With less damage. And then on the outside of the home, you paint the conduit red, maybe like the brick or something like that.
Sure.
So I mean, that's just like on you.
That's just like a half inch conduit that would be running up there or something like that, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Like a metal or a plastic conduit, and they run the wires through it, and then they can start feeding them, you know, through the ceiling or around the second floor once it's up there. And it's just eliminates some of the plaster work. So the way we did the one, it had a lot of plaster work.
It
was pretty expensive, and we removed wallpaper and basically painted, you know, everything in all of the rooms and everything. So the entire first floor, second floor, all got plaster repaired and repainted. That was pretty much more than the electrical work, but it really takes the plan to come up with what all are you trying to do, how much of it can you get to, you know, things like that. And then we also utilize that opportunity to fix some issues, like some those big, like you probably have in your home, the big, you know, two-sided pocket doors that kind of French open and close. And
I do.
Right. We fixed a couple of those while we were inside the wall and got them working again, and got the doors, you know, on the tracks and stuff better. And so we also had the opportunity to make some repairs like that for them too, because, you know, it's historic on the outside, but to a lot of people, it's historic on the inside, and they want to maintain that, you know, as well.
Sure. Well, sure. You give me some possibilities with the thing, because, I was thinking I'm going to be spending an absurd amount of money, you know, staying in a hotel or something while I do all this. I'm like, you know, that would make it, you know, pretty much an unreachable project, but this is has more realistic view for me. So I do appreciate your comments and your input. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're very welcome. Great question, and something that, you know, here at Mosby, how we work through stuff like that and you know, kind of the designing process, but designing doesn't always necessarily mean cabinets and countertops and colors. And sometimes designing means planning, you know, where do we want to fix the wiring? How do we get it there? And how much will we need to tear out? And can we do it from the outside, or do you want to? And, you know, figuring out all those plans, we can do some really great, you know, plans and really set really great expectations so that you know and understand everything that needs to and is going to happen. So there's, you know, less surprises throughout the process and at the end of the process when the electrician says, yeah, we'll need to tear out some plaster. And then you find out in the middle of the process, he's tearing out like 25% of the plaster in your home. If you don't realize that and haven't thought about what that's going to take or cost, or how do you get all that done? You know, it's worth looking at the whole kind of schedule plan. How do we go about it? Work it out with everybody, all the different trades, and then get through it and understand what you're up against and have that pricing and everything up front to know it. So, you know, we can do that, things like that for you here at Mosby Building Arts. It's what I do pretty much every day, 5 days a week for Scott Mosby all the time. So, love to help everybody out for sure. And speaking of help everybody out, we're going to take our middle of the hour break here. And for all of you, anything you got going on, I'd love to help you out. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is where you will find me right now for the next hour and a half. Feel free to jump and join in, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Kevin Wheeler here. Join me weeknights at 6 for the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line. We've got everything in sports covered for you, but of course, we're going to be on top of the Cardinals. All the latest and best information for you right here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, guys, here we go. Having a great time. Couple great calls, couple great questions, you know. So Greg talking about updating his electrical. Can we stay in the home? How can we get through that? You know, and that's something that, you know, I think we do really, really well here at Mosby Building Arts, not just making the plan of how to get through the project, but making the plan of how do you stay in your home? You know, how do you live there and get through, you know, what's about to happen? It's something that we do with all of our projects all of the time, advising, you know, can you move to this part of the house, or how do we do, you know, and when we work on this, we can do this to protect you, and we can put plastic and, you know, use dust protection as best we can, and we can have, you know, air scrubbers filtering the air and, you know, pushing all that dusty air outside, and we can protect the floors with RAM board and all this stuff, but we plan for that. We work through that, and we really, you know, get that in the entire project so that it can be successful for you guys, you know, to keep you in that home during the entire project. I've even gone to, you know, lengths so great where I had an addition with a whole house remodel, and we literally got the addition done. It had a bathroom in it. She got to move into the addition, and then we wiped out the entire interior of the rest of the home, kitchen, bathrooms, bedrooms, redid floors, redid everything, and she was able to stay there and live there and had her dogs in there, and everything worked out for her. It was a great experience, I think, for us and for her and for everybody else, you know, because she didn't want to go stay with her daughter. She didn't want to, you know, go through all this different stuff or rent something for a year and all this. So, you know, we planned it out and we worked it out and, you know, had great success with that. So speaking of great success, hopefully I'll be able to help out Greg here on the line with his water heater. Greg, what do you got going on?
Hey, not too much. Just narrowed down a leak on a hot water heater coming out of the pressure and temperature relief valve. So looked at that, got a little bit on the carpet, decided probably just go ahead and swap out that valve, replace that valve, and still have the leak coming out of the pressure, you know, out of that pipe coming out of that valve.
Okay.
So just kind of looking at my next options, kind of looked up at the expansion tank that's on there and trying to figure out if that might possibly be the issue.
Yeah, I would definitely say that was going to be my first question for you is, do you have an expansion tank, you know, on there? And if you do, then my guess would be that expansion tank is probably starting to fail. There is a bladder inside of there. So if anything happens to that bladder, and that's what expands and contracts and goes back to relieve some of that pressure, then basically, if the bladder goes bad or leaks, then the whole tank just fills with water and it's not functioning anymore. And you might not know that it's done that if it isn't leaking itself. So, yeah, I would say if you replace that pressure valve already and it's still doing it, I would say replace that tank for sure. And, you know, how I would look at the setting of how hot it is, how high up, you know, on that, and could that be turned down a little bit too? You know, do you need it as hot? Are you using water that hot? You know, how hot is the water coming out of the hot water heater, and how hot do you like your water when you shower and stuff like that, or what's your valve set at to let it come out? You may be able to just reduce that temperature to help it a little bit, but I think your expansion tank is definitely the next step.
That water temperature right now is on its about lowest setting.
Okay.
Of the temperature. I did quickly check that tank and the pressure was almost non-existent in it. Is it possible for that to fail without, you know, water or anything else coming out of that valve on the tank?
You know, I wouldn't know for sure. I kind of just know it as like a working or fail thing, you know what I mean? Because
yep.
The bladder inside of it and everything. So I don't know if it could, you know, kind of like read like it's working, but not. Definitely maybe put a shout out to any plumbers out there to say, hey, you know, do you think that could be something? But I still would say, you know, that's what the pressure that's what that expansion take is for, to take some of that pressure off. So if you're getting so much pressure that it's popping the valve, I'm guessing that expansion tank is not working.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Oh, no, no problem. Have a great day to you too, Greg. Thanks for calling in. Good question. And, you know, it's very common, and there's, you know, a lot of, you know, it's in the codes now that you got to add that expansion tank when you change your hot water heater and get a new one. They definitely recommend doing that if you don't have one too, because it is a safety feature, and it will, you know, I know you have that release valve, but if that were to not function for some reason or get stuck or whatever, it could be a kind of big deal. And that's why they've put this into the code and everything. And the other thing that they recommend, that most plumbers that I've at least spoken with recommend, is when you need a new water heater, get a new expansion tank. Just do it at the same time. They're basically about the same life expectancy, you know, out of them. So it is odd if it's a newer expansion tank for it to go bad so soon. But, you know, 10, 12, 14 years is kind of where we're looking, where we're thinking, you know, as far as the life expectancy of those expansion tanks. So, you know, definitely every time you replace that water heater, just go ahead and get a new expansion tank, and you kind of renew the whole system, you know, and just take care of the maintenance then. There's no sense in doing them, you know, at separate times, or, you know, having a plumber come back later just to do the expansion tank, unless you're having just a problem with it. So, yeah, I would still recommend, Greg, check into that. But I would also ask anybody, you know, if there's some plumbers out there, you know, we got our whole university out there, right? We've got all our friends and family and everybody to help us out. So if there's some plumbers out there that have an idea, or that have seen those expansion tanks seem like they're working, but they don't and know why, we'd love to hear about that from you too. You know, definitely feel free to call in 314-436-7900. Would love all of your questions, comments, concerns, anything going on. Long distance, 800-925-1120. If you're far away, you can still get to us if you're listening over the internet and everything. So I think what we'll do here, if Ed can hold on through the break, I want to make sure I have enough time for you once I get you on. We're getting pretty close to the quarter hour here. So I think we'll take our final break of the hour, get with Ed on the phone when we come back. And then anybody else out there, again, 314-436-7900 is where you find me. And can't wait to talk to you after this.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show,
presented by Suburban Leisure Center, the place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Hi. All right, everybody. Rich Orr is here filling in for Scott Mosby today. We've got a section here and then a whole nother hour after this. So I want to get Ed on the line here. Has a question or comment about the grab bars we were talking about. So, hey, Ed, how you doing today? What do you got going on?
Can you hear me okay?
I can, sir.
Good. Because I have a grab bar question, because it was inspired by the earlier call.
Sure.
I'm a 71-year-old man but I have sometimes a little trouble getting out of the tub here in St. Louis Hills. But I had the most beautiful tile that was put in a long, long time ago, and I'm going to hate to put grab bars into that beautiful tile. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And the other part of that is that, but sometimes I like to take a bath. Sometimes I like to take a shower. And what I do now is, on the bottom of the tub, you know, I have a mat that I have there, but I have to pull off the mat and put it on, pull it off.
Yeah.
So I like to sit, you know, I don't like it. But the two questions I have, but I hate to put grab bars in this beautiful tile, are you with me? But I sometimes I take a bath, sometimes I take a shower. And then what would I put on this 70-year-old tub, you know, that is just slick, do you see, on the bottom of that tub so I don't fall down. Are you with me?
I am very much so. Is it a cast iron tub?
It is. I'll tell you, that tub is heavier than anybody. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you kidding? That thing, I can't believe, so on the second floor, and then you put all that water in it, and then you put a 300-pound person in it. That thing.
Yeah.
There's one just like it on the second floor. This house is built. Are you with me?
Yep. Yeah. And so the mats are great because, you know, you can get, you know, the rubbery non-slip mats that are suction cups. They have like 1,000 suction cups underneath them, so you can pull them up, clean them up, put them back down. Those seem to work really well. Of course, we've got the old-fashioned stickers, you know, that would stick down. And so there's mats like that that can actually be kind of adhered on to give a non-slick surface. Or if you were to have the tub refinished, you know, if it got reglazed, then they can put down, you know, a non-slip surface in an area of the bottom of that tub and then reglaze that tub, make it nice and white again or whatever color, and then you'll have a more permanent non-stick, you know, less slippery surface in the bottom of that tub. Of course, that's how your pricing's escalating. You know, resurfacing the whole tub is going to be much different than buying a suction cup mat or some stickers.
Yeah, but that reglazing makes a good idea. I've had reglazing done in the past elsewhere, but they reglazed it a different color, do you see? And then that color will come off. Yeah. But if I reglaze it the exact color, do you see, then because a long time ago, someplace else near Groundlet Park, I had a wall thing reglazed, a tub reglazed that was white into gray.
Yeah.
And then the gray comes off. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah. Yep, it will wear. It is not an absolute permanent surface.
Right, but the glazing's got to be better now.
Yeah, it's definitely better.
If I have it reglazed the same color, that might be the answer.
Yeah. Yep, and that would get you a really good surface at the bottom. I've seen them do it, you know, plenty of time before, and that would really help out. Now, the other thing that exists out there that I would tell you and everybody else to, you can try, but you have to try with caution and you have to be really super careful, is they do make, you know, grab bars that are really good, strong suction cups. So it can stick to your tile like a suction cup. But I'm telling you right now, if your tile is not perfectly smooth, like a smooth porcelain, if it has any texture to it or even a matte finish that's kind of a little bit rough, that suction cup may not stick very well. And it's a testing thing. You want to make sure that, you know, we tried to do that last year on vacation for my father-in-law, and we brought, you know, a suction cup one that he uses at his house that works really well. But when we got to the rental home in Florida, in the shower he was going to be using, it had, you know, it was a more textured tile, more natural tile, and it just wouldn't even stick to it. So we just had
really,
to
really, I'm
going to
tell you, I can hear you because that I'm going to put all my weight on that.
Yeah.
If that fails, I live alone. Yep. That'll be the last thing I do.
Yep, and that's why it's kind of like get it on there, test it out. Have somebody pulling on it or trying to make sure it's really going to work really well. And then the other maintenance part of that suction cup thing is I would recommend, if it does work really well, take it off every now and then. Clean the wall, put it back, because, you don't want it to all of a sudden fail and down you go. So that's, it comes with a big warning with the suction cups. I would rather bolt it to the wall and put a hole through that tile and use something decorative myself. Yeah. But if you didn't want to, that's a route that has worked for some people. with the right type of tile.
Yeah, let me just say, I'm just thinking through this. You know, I think I'll put a permanent one in that looks really, really good. Are you mean? Do you see?
Yeah.
One that looks really. It's a two family. It's upstairs. Some old person's going to move in there someday. Are you mean?
Yeah, it's like an oversized towel bar that.
Yeah, right. But it's going to appreciate. Look good. It looks. Yeah, it's going to mess up. It's going to do something, but. Someday another old person's going to live in that thing.
Oh, absolutely. They'll get there. Even if it's a 30-year-old buying the house, eventually they'll get there, right?
Really, because a young person might buy the house, but they'll rent out the upstairs unit to an old person.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, Ed, I appreciate the call here. We got to get into our break at the top of the hour. We've got Adam on the line here. If you can hold the line, we will get to you as soon as we return after the news, weather, and all of that. All right, guys, here we go. Welcome back. We got our second hour starting up here, and I'm real excited. Another hour of helping out. Rich Orris here again, filling in for Scott Mosby, who is wrapping up his assignment this week. So he will be back to help everybody out next week. So get ready for that. So talking about helping everybody out and seeing what we can do, you know, we were talking about grab bars, accessibility, slick bathtubs. We've got Adam on the line. I think Adam has a slick bathtub or has a solution for a slick bathtub. Adam, are you with us? What do you got going on? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. I think we might have lost Adam. He's there. He looks like he's there. Little technical difficulties here. We just lost Adam, so that's okay. Adam, if you're out there, give us a shout back. We'll try and figure out the difficulty here in the meantime for sure. And for everybody else, we've got an hour of this. We can get you through it. We can help you through it. I know with, you know, the big day tomorrow, right? Mother's Day is the big day. Get in with us. Get your stuff figured out. We'd love to get through it with you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And, you know, accessible bathrooms, you know, this is something that we look at, we talk about all the time. And surprisingly, you know, to a lot of people, when they're looking at their bathrooms, we're advising some of this stuff in the planning of it. You know, we're talking about how long you're going to be in your home and trying to figure all this stuff out so that we can make really good recommendations, you know, for how to get through these things and what to do and, you know, getting it the best way possible for you. So even, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, I don't really know that we need that yet. And I'm like, well, but think about it for just a moment. You know, you might get into a car accident. You might hurt your knee. You might have something come up. So, hey, I think, do we have Adam back on the line here? Adam, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can. We got you. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in. What's happening?
So I got a little solution for the slick bathtub.
Yeah, awesome. What's that?
A couple years ago, I lived on the hill in a four-family flat. And the old lady landlord, she had the bathtub put down a really industrial, tough, adhesive, slick, her anti-slick pad.
Uh-huh.
And it was the whole length of the bathtub. She got it professionally done. So plumbers might be able to help with that. Or if you want to go all hillbilly on it, you can just go get some rhino lining and rhino line your whole bathtub.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, that's kind of what we were talking about with that reglazing. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, you kind of rhino line it and then you can, you know, glaze whatever color over it or something like that. But yeah, absolutely. There's some good ways out there. And I must say, you know, in these old homes and like you were talking about on the hill and, you know, Ed's historic home and everything, there is nothing slicker than a good old 100-year-old cast iron bathtub. I'm telling you what, them things are like ice, you know, when you, they can be so slick. So it is definitely worth thinking about some sort of method like that. So yeah, I appreciate that, Adam. You know, talk to your plumbers about this, this strip, because the length of the bathtub is an excellent idea.
And you know, I do believe Home Depot does have kits that you can do it yourself.
Awesome.
Yep. And it's the whole length of the bathtub, but I mean, it's a little rough to take a bath in.
Yeah.
But that's the only downfall.
Yep. No, it is. But, you know, in today, most people are showering, you know, they just, they're nine out of 10 people probably shower a lot more than they bathe anyways now. So definitely why we're in need of this so much more in today's environment. So, hey, Adam, awesome. Appreciate the call and the comments and the concerns here and trying to help everybody out, all our listeners out here, the big University of KMOX for everybody. We've got a lot of information for you going on and hopefully super, super helpful. So let's jump over to Rosemary here if we can and get her going on the line. Rosemary has a question for us. Yeah. Hey, are you there?
Hi, I am. Thank you for your show. It's so entertaining.
Oh, I appreciate that. You're very welcome.
I just have two questions. First of all, we have a shower faucet. It's a one-handled faucet with a shower massage attached to it. But it's the water is constantly dripping from the shower massage. Shower massage was changed. So it's in the faucet. And in looking on YouTube, I see where there's a cartridge behind that faucet that probably needs to be replaced.
Yes.
Now, my question is, can two amateurs like my husband and me do that job? It looked easy, but I don't know.
Well,
if it,
I mean, I think you can if you're intuitive enough and you know, and you have some tools, you know, like the big pliers and stuff, because the probably hardest part of changing one of those cartridges, you know, if you follow the instructions and everything, the hardest part sometimes is just getting the old one out.
And, you need that's what I hear.
Yeah.
But then I hear there's a tool that can, an additional tool that could possibly help do that. We don't have that yet, and I thought it'd be good to buy that when we look for the cartridge.
Yeah, you can consider that or... really, you know, what I've used for the most part is you grab the edge of, you know, you grab the little handle part and just a larger pair of pliers, you know, not a real small, like homeowner pair, but a really good size. It gives you a little bit of leverage to hold on with both hands and kind of, you know, work that out. It will come out that way for the most part. Depends on age and everything else and how long it's been in there and if there's, you know, any deposits, calcium deposits, things like that kind of help lock it in there. But those deposits and everything are why it drips, too.
Yeah, yeah. Our house is 17 years old, so it's original.
Okay.
The cartridge.
Yeah.
But and my husband is pretty handy around the house. It's just a job that we haven't tried yet. So I thought I'd call and get your opinion.
Yep. No, I think follow the instructions, get that tool if it's not too much money or whatever, and I think you'll be able to do it if he's pretty handy, for sure.
Yep. And then my daughter has an older home in South St. Louis, and she's talking about doing wallpaper on a sand-finished plaster wall. Will that work? Or does it need to be a smooth finish?
Well, I mean, it... If it works to get it to stick really well, you'll probably see that there's a sand finish through that wallpaper, depending on how thick that wallpaper is. If you use like a thick kind of grassy type or something, you may not see it. But if you use something pretty thin, like a paper with just a pattern or something, and you get that to stick real well, you'll probably see the sand through it. But I have seen it work. I have seen it on, you know, sand finished surfaces, and You just got to size it well, glue it well, and really press it on there. And sometimes you can kind of see the sand through that wallpaper.
Okay. I was discouraging her from doing it since it is sand finished.
Yeah.
But we could probably ask wherever she finds the wallpaper to see what their opinion is. But
yep. Any recommendation on that, you know, from them would be good on the glue and everything else. But yeah.
Okay. Okay. So it's possible then.
It is possible. I have seen it work. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help. You have a good day and thanks again for your show.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're very welcome. I appreciate it. And, you know, last week I actually got my nickname from one of the callers, Mr. Fix-It, she asked for. She said, I got to talk to this Mr. Fix-It. So hopefully that's working out for everybody. And so
there you go.
So appreciate the call. And we're going to get into our break here and we will get to John and anybody else out there. Once we return, don't forget 314-436-7900 is where you'll find me. We got plenty of time left. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. Having a blast today. I'm just love being here, love helping out, love filling in for Scott Mosby. I'm Rich Orris. Here, I got the Realms. I'm in the big red chair. I'm helping everybody out. I hope this is working well. Mr. Fix-It here for you today. Let's get John on the line. Has some stuff about some cast iron tubs, I think, still. Hey, John, what do you got going on?
Hey, Rich, Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah.
We missed Scott, but we...
Oh, we lost John on the line here. So, hey, John, if you can hear me, give us a shout back. And I'd love to hear what you got going on with your tub and everything. And so, meanwhile, is there another call? Oh, okay. Hey, we got another call on the line. Hey, what's your name? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Ah, there you are.
Okay. I got a question about gutter coverings.
Oh,
sure.
Is
it worth it?
Are gutter coverings worth it?
Yeah, and are they going to, you know, bring the value up of my house if I decide to get it? I'm looking at two different ones. One's got the screen type, and the other one's like a hard top across, you know, across it.
Yeah, yeah. The other one's kind of like a helmet that connects
to
the roof.
Yeah, it's a gutter helmet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So so as far as the value of the house, I think any gutter cover will increase the value of the house when someone, just knowing that it's there, and they go, oh, look, it has gutter covers. Awesome, you know. But you do have to watch, like, which one you choose, and
right.
You do have to think about, like, what type of trees and what you're having land there, because I've seen almost every type of gutter cover fail on one house or another. I've seen the gutter helmet have issues with roofs that aren't real steep. You know, like a little bit lower slope roof. And then when you have gumballs that have the little spikes and everything on them, and they would, you know, kind of collect in the valley in areas against the gutter, and then it got water running where you didn't want it and stuff like that. And I've seen, you know, like the screen ones that go inside the gutter, well, they're not going to work well at all with gumballs. I don't know that many things work super well, but different types of trees will, you know, put, like, pine needles don't work well with the screens that have the little holes in them because they'll poke into the holes. And,
right.
And so you really got to think about, does this protect well from the things that are landing on my roof, more for your value than the next person's, because the next person's not going to realize if the gutter cover's working well or not. They're just going to know they have them and be like, oh, that's awesome. We got gutter covers. I don't have to worry about anything. And they may end up having to worry about something if they're not working well. But
well, see, I got the slope roof. So that's one thing going for me. And I do, unfortunately, got the gumballs.
Yeah. Yeah. So if your roof's fairly steep, if it doesn't have a lot of valleys where, you know, two roof lines kind of come together.
Right.
And the water might shoot over, or gumballs might collect there. And really what it kind of means is also it could work pretty effectively, but then you still just got to get up there a couple times a year and make sure those gumballs are cleared off. And, you know, it could just still leave some maintenance, less maintenance than you had with open gutters.
Right.
But still some maintenance to be aware of. But I definitely wholeheartedly believe when you put on that real estate sheet, you know, I have SureFlow gutter covers, or I have gutter helmets installed, or right. I have LeafGuard gutters, or all these different products. I think they will all benefit and benefit the sale of the home, because people will be like, awesome. One less maintenance thing I have to take care of.
Yeah, I'm to the point right now, I don't want to get on roofs anymore, you know, and this is why I'm considering it.
Yeah.
And the guy's been out here selling, you know, trying to sell his product to me, and they were claiming that that filter, I forgot what you said, what's it called, with the filters, you know?
Yeah,
he claims there's maintenance to that. He said, you got to get up there and clean that, because if stuff builds up on them, and before you know, they're not so pretty anymore.
Oh, you're talking about like the screen one, or?
Yeah, that's the screen one.
Yeah, it's got a little filter in it. It's got a screen on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they all could have a little bit of maintenance like that, cleaning off or things like that. When I look at the scale personally for myself of gutter protection, the screen type, the flat type, there's one called SureFlow, works pretty well. We use that one all the time. It still has some maintenance where things can collect. The screen ones, yeah, you might need to clean them a little bit every now and then. It's all still less maintenance than if it's wide open. The gutter helmet can work well, but, you know, the faults I've seen in that is if your roof's not real steep, sometimes it can collect stuff. And if your gutters aren't already installed in a really good fashion, they're taking this metal from the roof down onto your gutter. So if your gutters aren't perfect, it does make it difficult. It can be too steep or not steep enough on that gutter helmet. And then the other thing is it's connected to your roof with that gutter helmet.
Right.
So it's integrated into that all of a sudden. So if you need a new roof, they all have to come off and they all have to go back. So it's an additional expense. So LeafGuard gutters are very good. It does the same as the gutter helmet, but it's also the gutter also. So when LeafGuard does it, they replace the gutter and install a new gutter that has a helmet on it. So right. What I like about it is it's not connected to your roof.
So it's
outside of that. But I've also seen LeafGuard down the road. Its issues are in those valleys, it can overshoot sometimes. And they might have to put a diverter, which then again will collect things like your gumballs. So you'd have to get up there like twice a year, make sure the gumballs are cleared off.
Right.
And I've seen them get dirty enough where they literally need to be like cleaned, power washed, like the water, you know, how those helmets work. It's called liquid adhesion. The water sticks to the metal as it wraps around and falls into the gutter. So if it gets too dirty, it will stop sticking. And I've seen people have to clean it. We've had to power wash, clean them off. So there's even a little bit of maintenance to that. Now, the maintenance on the LeafGuard one with the cleaning was, you know, 10, 12, 15 years down the road. I've seen that gutter last 20 years or more and work pretty well. But so on your food chain, you know, it's probably what you're looking at now. Is you've got, you know, the least amount of money in the screen, but the most amount of maintenance, more money in the gutter helmet with a little bit less maintenance if your gutters are in really good condition right now. And of course, LeafGuard's going to be like going to your gourmet restaurant and ordering that $80 steak or whatever. You're like, wow, you know, it's going to be, but it's going to have the least amount of maintenance even over some of the others. So, you know, it's what are you after? How long are you going to be there? What are you willing to spend? I would say it's worth having a conversation with all of them and then, you know, comparing them to the type of tree debris falling, and then you can just make a good educated decision.
Okay. It sounds good. Like I said, I got two of them coming over tomorrow. So
okay.
They're going to stop by and 6-millimeter pitch, I guess. But I am definitely going to get something.
Yeah.
Because I got two trees pretty close to my house, and I'm tired of getting up there and cleaning them.
Yep. Nope. I don't blame you at all. I think it's a great idea. I appreciate the call. Great question. Great topic. We talk about all the time here at Mosby Building Arts and on KMOX. So, again, everybody, I am Rich Orris filling in for Scott Mosby today. We got John back on the line, but if John can hang on for a minute, let's go ahead and take our break because I want to have time to talk to you, John, when we get you on. And we're right at the half hour where we need to squeeze this in. So if you can hang on for me, we'll get to that. Everyone else, 314-436-7900 is where you'll find me for the next half an hour. We'll be right back after this. All right, guys, here we go. We're back again. Got two segments here. You can reach me, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's get straight to John here. We've got him back on the line. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Hey, John, you're back. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Rich. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, traveling back to Nebraska to see my mom on Mother's Day. So, beautiful day to drive out here.
Good son.
yeah, thank you. Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I still haven't started that little sunroom project on the front of my house that you helped me with, but I'm getting close.
Okay, yeah.
So what I'm talking about today is I'm going to do, I know I can handle this one. This will be a do-it-yourselfer. I just don't know exactly how. I've got a 90-year-old home with a cast iron tub, and I've got a 30-year-old American Standard sink. And that's got some kind of it's a metal sink, but it's got like a white coating on it, a thick paint, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Certainly not as old as the old cast iron tub. Now, upstairs in the cast iron tub's been sprayed twice, reglazed, and it, you know, just comes off, doesn't look good. I don't really want to do a re-tub thing where they put the plastic over, because I think that's going to make the tub look cheap.
Yeah.
But in the bottom of the drain, I've got rust. Right in the bottom of the drain, doesn't look good. On the front edge of the kitchen sink, where the caulk is, I've got rust in two spots of that sink. So I'm asking you, should I get some 80 grit, 40 grit sandpaper, or whatever, 120, sand it down to bare metal, both the tub and the front part of the sink, prime it, and then get that appliance spray, white spray paint that you'd spray a refrigerator with and fix it?
Well, I don't know that I would do the appliance stuff. They do make kits for reglazing tubs. So I would recommend looking for a paint like one of those kits that's actually meant to sit in water like that in the sink and or the tub if you're going to try and color it. You know, so yes, you could do that. And that's kind of how they do it. They clean it up. They sand it down. They prime it real well with the, you know, the primer would be with the kit. And then it's a paint on, you know, paint that you could put over that to, you could reglaze the whole tub or just that little area, you know, if the color looks right. But I would definitely go for like a waterproof glazing kit that's meant for a tub for both the tub and the sink.
Now, where do I buy something like that?
I'm pretty sure, I think the big box stores would have it. Maybe a paint store like Sherwin-Williams or one of them might carry it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know most big box stores, Lowe's, Home Depot, stuff like that, have those kits.
Would that be in the paint department of the big box?
Yes, I believe so. Yep.
Okay. And it's just a repair kind of a thing.
Yep, it's basically meant for reglazing. It won't be a...
Okay.
The only way to make it a spray-on is to get your own sprayer. You know, that you basically either roll or brush it on, or you use a paint-type sprayer, like the one with the little bottle that's a fill, and then you can spray it like that. So that's the only difference is I don't know of a version that comes in a spray can already. Like the appliance stuff, but the appliance stuff is more for metal with heat or metal, you know, and they're not really planning on it being submerged in water all the time.
No, I don't want any overspray, so I like the fact that I'll paint it on with a brush. So, yeah. Well, thank you, sir. I hope you have a good weekend.
No, you too. Hey, have fun with your mother. Happy Mother's Day. Tell her I said Happy Mother's Day. And appreciate you calling in and going through some more stuff with us. That's awesome.
Yeah, same with your wife and your mother, too. So.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thanks, John.
See you, buddy.
Yep.
Bye.
So, yeah, that's, you know, doing a lot, talking about the DIY stuff, you know, doing the paint like that, maybe, you know, changing that valve and everything on the shower like we were talking about earlier. There is a lot of this stuff that, yep, you can, you know, do the research. If you're intuitive enough, you get into it. There's a lot of this stuff you really can, you know, do yourself and get through and really, you know, work on and help out. I think it's great things to do to just, you know, stay on top of everything. You know, like they say, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound, you know, or all that. Like, just do it first. Do it while it's easier, while it's not that bad. You know, don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Get to stuff like I talk about all the time. You know, now that the sun's out and we've, the rain's kind of hopefully lightened up here for a few days or a week, then we can get outside, do your walkabout, walk around your house, look at your ceilings during all that rain, go to areas that you haven't been, you know, in a while, and just take a look and just make sure that you'd be surprised. Sometimes you end up with these issues that you don't even know that, you know, you've got. All of a sudden, water starts coming in. I've seen so much of, man, you know, even people that are like, we've been here 30 years. We've never had an issue. And then all of a sudden, they got this water coming in. And now all of a sudden, something changed and they need a sump pump. And if you weren't looking and you weren't paying attention and you didn't notice, well, then how would you know? You know, you don't even know it's going on. And as we age, you know, we talk about, you know, bathrooms with accessible design and help and do that. Well, I know as that happens to all of us, you know, we're going to go down those stairs to that basement less and less. We're going to think about it less and less. It's going to be harder to do that. And so, you know, consider if it is harder, maybe just having somebody do that for you. You know, having somebody come over and say, just, can you walk around? Can you figure things out? Can you just make sure, does anything look out of place or, you know, anything like that? Because you can find stuff pretty easily and notice stains or different things and start to get to the bottom of it before it becomes way too much of a problem. Or if you're, you know, all of a sudden starting to get a musty smell, you know, in a basement or something like that, it's worth investigating, figuring out, you know, what's going on, where's the moisture coming from, you know, dark, damp, that's going to bring that musty smell. So if it's a place you don't go much, if it's a closet that's always got the door shut, if it's, you know, anything like that, air circulation is so important, you know, all of those things to keeping that home healthy. And, you know, you got to kind of see it and use it and go through it to stay on top of it. Everyone remember, you know, everything we do, everything we build, you know, all this rain we've just had, this is Mother Nature's way of trying to destroy everything that we're putting on her planet, you know, and she's trying to bring it back to what it was. And that's what happens. And so we're basically, it's a constant maintenance battle to stay with that, stay on top of that and keep it good and everything. So, hey, I think we'll take our final break here. And for everybody out there, we've got one more segment. We can take your call. We can answer your questions, your comments, your concerns, anything you got. Give me a shout. Feel free, 314-436-7900. And we'll come back, and hopefully you'll be there when we return. All right, guys, Rich Orris here, filling in for Scott Mosby. And last segment, real quick, we've got some people lined up, so let's get Mary on the phone here. Sounds like she's looking for a handyman. Mary, are you with us?
I'm with you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, and happy Mother's Day, Mary.
Thank you. I have a question. I am an older lady, and my question is, I'm also new to the area, but I need a reliable place I can call for someone to do a lot of just handyman jobs. I need heavy pictures hung. I'd like to put in new fire alarm systems. Sometimes I need furniture moved around. Do you have any, is there any organization or where would you direct me to go to look for someone like this? I have wonderful neighbors, but I don't want to call on them.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, Mary, unfortunately, this is a very hard spot for people because there's just not, you know, a lot out there. At Mosby Building Arts, we do a lot of jobs, big or small, but we don't go quite as small as, like, just direct handyman. We've often thought about a service like that, but we're just so busy that we keep, every time we come to it, we kind of hold it off because we've got so much to do. So it is very difficult to find a good person that has some experience that is a handyman like that, that could do stuff on the side. And I would tell you too, you can check, you know, with some of these apps and stuff like Angie's List or, you know, the home back door or porch or whatever, all those, but you got to really be careful because these, you got to do your own interviewing and checking because right. A lot of these sources say, you know, oh, we do background checks, but I've totally heard about people that were criminals that were in prison before and they didn't finish the person's kitchen and they got them through, you know, this service that they thought did background checks. And so I always advise people, even if you think somebody's doing it, do your own background check, you know, look their name up on CaseNet and see if you, what you see and, you know, things like that, because it is a very difficult position. And unfortunately, I don't have anybody to directly recommend, but I would say, you know, another place to maybe call and ask would be the Better Business Bureau or the, okay, like your local Home Builders Association might have a couple recommendations for something like that.
Okay.
And then you just got to do your own research, your own background check, and see how you feel about them.
Okay, well, thank you for those suggestions because I just didn't know where to start. So
yeah, yeah.
Your program, and have a good weekend.
All right, yeah, you too.
You're doing a wonderful service.
I appreciate that very much. Goodbye, Mary. Have a good day. And we got Mike on the line. Mike, what do you have going on for us?
Hi, Rich. Thank you for taking my call. Short question and referral if you may, or maybe Mosby can help me. I have downspouts with pop-ups, and it's that black corrugated tubing underground. They seem to be plugged up because I'm not getting anything out of my pop-ups or yeah, any of the drainage things. Is that something that Mosby would do or could refer me?
Yes, no, we could absolutely do that. And when we come out and look at it and talk about it, they'll talk a lot about using like a good hard PVC pipe in its place, redigging it out and getting a pipe that's more solid, that has glued fittings, that won't crush as easily, you know, that'll last longer and actually, you know, work really well. Another problem with the black corrugated in the pop-ups is the pop-up is actually a PVC fitting. It's like a PVC elbow, and the black corrugated doesn't really fit into there well. It doesn't lock in. You can't glue it in there. So most people duct tape it into this elbow, and then you put it underground with the moisture, it fails, and you could be getting dirt in it right there, causing that clog and everything. So go into a solid PVC pipe. You know, at Mosby, we can perform that. We do it ourselves with our guys, and we can fix all that for you. And we'll talk about the importance of, you know, doing it right when we check it out.
Oh, that sounds great to me. What number would I call to arrange to have them come out?
Yeah, it'd be 314-909-1800.
314-909-1800.
Yes, sir.
Rich, thank you again so much and thoroughly enjoy your program.
Oh, awesome. I appreciate that very much. Let's jump here to Charles real fast, see if we got about 2 minutes here. Charles, if we can get through you, I'll do my best.
Oh, yeah, I can finish that in 2 minutes. Very quickly, I'm replacing a vanity sink and toilet. It's on a wall that's about 6 feet wide, and I just want to make sure that when I replace those, I'm thinking about making a little bit bigger vanity, but I don't want to violate any codes or anything like that. Is there a minimum space between the toilet and the vanity that has to be maintained?
Yes. Yeah, that space is 15 inches from the center of the toilet to the vanity cabinet is 15 inches.
15. Okay,
yep.
Great.
So a total of 30, like from shower to vanity. You know, a 30-inch wide space where the toilet's centered is about the smallest you could have it.
Okay.
All righty.
That's perfect. Under 2 minutes.
Yeah, that was under 2 minutes. That was perfect. Hey, great call. Great question. Appreciate it, Charles. And I did want to say that we did have a caller call in, and they said that St. Andrew's Senior Services has a handyman service. So, Mary out there, if you're still listening, check out, look up St. Andrew's Senior Services, and apparently they have a handyman service that one of the callers recommended that you go and try them. So I think that's a great thought and a great idea. And again, I appreciate all the calls, but I also appreciate the advice coming back with the handyman service, with what we recommend. We love our whole community here at KMOX. Love it all. So, hey, everybody. Scott will be back from his little trip and everything, and I'll talk to everybody another time, hopefully not too long from now. So till then, have a happy Mother's Day and a good week.